Revelation chapter 5, and here's what the Bible says. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You go back and you read Revelation chapter 4, and you'll read about the rapture. I'll just read verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Of course, John was being called up to heaven, but one day that trumpet will sound, and Jesus will return, and all of his children that are alive on the earth at that moment will go with him to heaven. He said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Revelation chapter 5, the scene changes. We're no longer on earth, we're in heaven. And by the way, if you're saved tonight, one day you will be there. Amen? I'm looking forward to heaven. The Bible says there's going to be lots of people there. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. And if you're tired of living on this old earth, just hang on, it'll change in a while. We'll go up there and we'll be with him. And we will see with those that are there, as John described in Revelation chapter 5, a lamb as it had been slain. Now, there's no doubt in my mind who that lamb that had been slain is. The Bible says it has seven horns. Of course, seven is the number of completion. It means all. And seven horns speaks to the power, the omnipotence of that lamb that had been slain. Of course, that lamb that has been slain is the omnipotent one, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that lamb has seven eyes. Again, seven is the number of completion, implying that that lamb with the seven eyes is knows everything. He's omniscient. He sees everything and knows everything. And of course, that's talking about Jesus. And it talks about the seven spirits of God. Again, talking about the omnipresence of God. Again, seven is the number of completion. And he is everywhere at the same time. There's not a place that God is not. I mean, just think about that. There is not a place that God is not. Sometimes we might think that he's so busy taking care of everything else, taking care of everybody else, that he's forgotten what's going on in our life. He doesn't see what's going on in the circumstances we're in. I want to remind you tonight, he sees everything, he knows everything, he's all powerful, and he's everywhere at the same time. And even though we may not be able to see him, he is there. And so when you get to feeling a little bit blue, my mom called me yesterday and said, I was listening to one of your sermons. It sounds like you were trying to cheer some people up. I said, no, I'm not trying to cheer anybody up. I'm just trying to remind them what kind of God they got. She said, well, you did a good job for me. I appreciate it. And I said, well, that's good, Mom. But I just want you to remember, you got a God that when you don't feel his presence, he's there anyway. So just take a little bit of that faith that you have and just know, even though you don't feel him, even though you can't see him, even though he seem to be working in your life, he is there and knows and sees. Now, tonight, I want you to notice three things about this lamb. I want you to notice, first of all, that he is a lamb with a book. A lamb with a book. We read in verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. What book was that? It was the Bible, part of the Bible. I mean, we read about it here. They opened the seals of that book, and John told about the different things that came as a result of those seals. But it was the Bible. The Bible is the written word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. They go together. And by the way, what's the Bible about? The Lamb that has been slain. You don't get very far in the Bible before you read about the first lamb that pictured this lamb that we talked about. I mentioned it this morning. I'll mention it quickly again tonight. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and God had to kill animals to cover their nakedness, he killed lambs. In Genesis chapter 4, when Cain and Abel brought their offerings. And you remember, Cain brought of the fruits of the ground, and Abel brought a lamb. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's, because God told him what kind of offering he wanted. He wanted an offering of a lamb. He wanted a blood sacrifice. You don't read much further, and again, I mentioned it this morning about the Passover lamb. And again, the book of Hebrews tells us all these are pictures of what Christ was going to do for us, about what the lamb in Revelation chapter 5 was going to do for us. The Passover lamb that they took that night, and they killed and drained the blood and took a hyssop and dipped it in the blood and put it on the doorpost of their home. And that night when the death angel came into the land of Egypt and killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, if he saw the blood on the post of the door, he passed over and spared the firstborn in that house. Not just a lamb, but a lamb that had been slain, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. In the New Testament, John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe that Jesus always was a lamb, because the Bible says the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I believe he will always be a lamb. Isaiah called him and the lamb, sheep dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. And you remember, I was reading again this week, where when he was standing before Pilate and the Jews were laying all these crimes against him, and Pilate said, aren't you going to say anything? Aren't you going to defend yourself? I mean, don't you hear all these things they're accusing you of? And the Bible said that Jesus stood there like a lamb, silent before his accusers. Peter reminds us that he was a perfect lamb. He said, we're not redeemed with the corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot, and without blemish. He's a lamb in heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." In fact, 28 times in the book of Revelation, our Savior is referred to as a lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Tonight, I lift up the Lamb slain, the Lamb with the book. And I thank God for that Lamb, that he took away my sins. I thank God for this book that tells me and tells you about that Lamb. He's also a Lamb with a throne. And by the way, if this Lamb didn't sit on the throne, we couldn't come in. I know the Bible invites us to boldly come before the throne of grace and make our petitions known, but unless that Lamb was on the throne, there's no way that we could come. Abraham Lincoln had four boys. Three of them died in their childhood, very young. One, Robert Todd Lincoln, lived to adulthood. Stories told when he was a little boy, 6 or 7, 8 years old, and his father was president, he had a toy that got broke. And he came to the office, the door of the office that went into the president's office. And there was a man standing there, and there was an important meeting going on. And he said, "Son, you can't come in." And Todd began to cry, and he said, "Oh, you don't understand. My dad's in there, and I need my daddy. My toy's broke." And the Bible says the door opened, and the president, Todd's dad, came out and consoled him about the toy. Tonight, I know a lamb that opens doors. I know a lamb that opened the door of heaven for this old sinner and all the sinners that are sitting out there. Tonight, I thank God for a lamb that was slain, because without that lamb, you and I would have no hope of heaven. He's a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Number two, not only is he a lamb with a book, he's a lamb with a people. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands are there. And today, and as been through the ages, the people that will one day join that crowd in heaven are now gathered in places like this, in churches that believe and preach in that Lamb. You open the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and chapter 3, you find that Lamb in the middle of the candlesticks. And those candlesticks are local churches. There's seven of them mentioned in the first or the second and third chapter of Revelation. And God has something, or Jesus has something, to say to all seven of them. And I pointed this out a couple weeks ago, but the truth, just every time I think about it, just it gets me excited. You know, the purpose of a candlestick is to help the candle shine. We took our poster down for Easter, but we're going to put it back up in the month of May, because we still need to let our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And the purpose of the church is to help us do that. It's, yeah, we're to tell people about Jesus, and we preach Jesus, and we give invitations, and people get saved. But our purpose is to help us as candles shine for him, and so that they can see the light that we reflect from the source of our light, Jesus Christ, and come to him. And by the way, as Jesus in the book of Revelation was in the midst of those candlesticks, in the midst of those seven churches, that's exactly where he needs to be in every church. Jesus Christ needs to be in the midst of every church. Not on the fringes of the church, but right in the middle. Not on the back row or over here in the corner. He needs to be right in the middle. He needs to be the center, and he needs to be the purpose of everything that we do. I mean, every service we have, he ought to be the theme of it. Every time we get together, regardless of what we get together for, be it for a social occasion, be it for a meeting of some other kind, he ought to be right in the middle. He ought to be the center. He ought to be in the middle of the church. And the Bible says that when he is, that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the faith that people have in his church. You remember Peter, we talked about this morning the question, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter say, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, not talking about Peter as our Catholic friends think, but talking about the faith that Peter had in that Lamb, in that Son of God, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's a defensive statement. If we have that kind of faith that Jesus or that Satan will not be able to attack us. But that statement is not a defensive statement. It's an offensive statement. What it's saying is, if you have that kind of faith, we can storm the gates of hell and we can pull people out of hell. Not after they've died, by the way. But before they died, as they're headed to hell, we can pull them out of those gates, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the faith, that faith that says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to attack, and we need to pull people out of their destiny to hell. We need to get them out of the clutches of Satan. We need to get them out of the fire and the darkness, out of the bottom of the pit, bottomless pit. We need to lift up the Lamb, and the Lamb says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we need to be busy telling people about Jesus. I remind you tonight, the world doesn't like people that belong to the Lamb. They don't. Jesus told his disciples, they didn't like me, they ain't going to like me. Well, he didn't use the word eight. He said, better English, Teresa, I know. Jesus said, they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They ridicule me, they're going to ridicule you. The world doesn't like people that belong to the Lamb. But it shouldn't stop us. You're here tonight. Think about this. You're here tonight because somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody. Maybe it was a tract that somebody gave you, but there was somebody behind that tract. You're here tonight. Most of us are saved because somebody told you about Jesus. We need to tell somebody else. And then somebody else. And then somebody else. Somebody else. Because this Lamb, not only does it have a book, but he has a people. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's a Lamb with a book. He's a Lamb with a people. And he's a Lamb with a choir and an amen corner. A choir and an amen corner. Verse 9 talks about that choir. And they sung a new song. Choir's made up of every kindred, every tongue, every people of every nation. Millions and millions and millions. They sing a new song. The title is, Worthy is the Lamb. You know, you won't like this song unless you're saved. You won't like this song unless you're a new creature and old things are passed away. The Lamb was worthy because it was slain. The Lamb was worthy because it redeemed us to God by his blood. The Lamb is worthy because he makes us, as the Bible says here, priests and kings before him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, to receive strength, to receive honor, to receive glory, to receive blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And I like what the next verse says. And the four beasts said, Amen. Let it be. Make it so. Amen. I was thinking earlier in the week about this sermon. And you know, that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to praise God. I mean, we're going to be part of that choir. We're going to be part of that millions and millions of people that says, worthy is the Lamb. And see, when we get to heaven, the Bible says now we see through a veil dimly or through a glass dimly, but when we get to heaven, all that's going to be taken away, and we're going to have 20/20 vision, and we're going to be able to see, and we're going to be able to understand more fully, I think, than we've ever have the love of God that drew salvation's plan. The grace of God that brought it down to man. I think we get glimpses of it, but I don't think until we get to heaven are we fully going to understand and realize what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And so if that's what we're going to do in heaven, you know what I think? I think we ought to get started while we're down here. David said, 7 times a day, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise God. 7 times a day, I'm going to praise thee because of what you've done for me. I read a story about Harry Ironside. He was a preacher in Chicago. He took over the Moody Church after D.L. Moody retired. And he not only preached in Chicago, but he was an evangelist, and he preached around the country. And the story I read was one time when he was preaching in Texas. And he was preaching, having a good revival, good preaching meeting. And a guy that had a sheep ranch came up to him and said, Dr. Ironside, I'd like you to come to my place for dinner. I'd just like to, you know, give you a meal and show you my ranch. And so the story goes that Dr. Ironside went home for lunch with this guy. And after lunch, they walked out, and he was showing him his farm and all his land and all his sheep. Had thousands and thousands of little sheep. And big sheep, little sheep, all sorts of sheep. And he said, hey, come here, I want to show you something. And so Dr. Ironside walked over to the fence, and the sheep farmer pointed out one little lamb that looked like he was deformed. I mean, he looked weird. Like he was deformed. And the rancher said, I want to tell you a story about that little lamb right there. When that little lamb was born, his mother died. And about that same time, we had another mother lamb that was having another mother sheep that was having and I'm sure I'm not using the right terms, but another sheep that was having a little baby, and the mother died. And somebody made the suggestion, well, we have a little lamb without a mother, and we have, no, I said that wrong. We got a little lamb without a mother. We got a mother whose little baby lamb died. So we got a little lamb without a mother, and we got a mother without a lamb. And somebody suggested, well, why don't you just put them together? It's sad that the little lamb's mother died. It's sad that the mother's little lamb died, but let's just put them together, and the mother will have a little lamb to take care of. And so the sheep rancher said, okay. So he put them together in the same pen. And the story goes the mother lamb went over and smelled that little baby lamb. And after she smelled the little lamb, just pushed her away with her nose. And somebody suggested, well, why don't you take the skin of the little lamb that died and wrap it around the live lamb and see what happens. And that's what they did, and they put them back together in the pen, and the mother lamb went over and smelled the little baby and began to lick it and took care of it just like it was her own. One day, and even today, we have a Father who takes care of us, not because we're good, not because we deserve it, but because we are wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see all our sin. He sees the perfection of the Lamb who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And we are made part of his family, not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world did for us. So why shouldn't I praise him? Why shouldn't I be like David and say seven times a day, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise the Lamb that's going to stand one day in heaven, stands there today probably, slain for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this peek into heaven. Thank you for reminding us what's going to happen there and what had to happen for us to get there. And I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'll take a look at the Lamb and they'll realize that he's the only hope they have for heaven. And I pray tonight they would come and receive him. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I hope we've got just a little bit fresher view, another view of the great love that you had for us when you sent your son to die for us. And I pray that it'll cause us to love you a little bit more, to serve you a little bit better. I pray, Father, that you'd make it so. Bless this time of invitation. Use it. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient and listen. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.